I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you really want something better? Do you?
Yes.
That's more like it. I know. Where's JJ at? JJ was here first. He's like, yeah, I do. And I was like, duh. Come on, guys. Yeah, of course we do, right? Who doesn't want something better? That's just the idea. That just seems like a ridiculous question. We all want something better. But then that begs the question, why did Jesus ask the same question to that poor guy by the pool who was waiting 38 years to be healed? You remember that story? We're going to talk about it today because for the last few months, we've been following Joseph on the uncomfortable journey to the literal future of his dreams. And along the way, we keep seeing how God's path forward often takes us through some foreign and very frightening places. But since today is Baptism Sunday, we're going to pause Joe's progress and take a side quest to the pool at Bethesda to see the first step that every faithful story needs to get started. And while Joe's journey has been rated R for some harsh reality, today's story is rated PG because it's pretty godly for down here. So, once upon a time, there was a pool in Bethesda where the waters would get stirred up occasionally, and the first person to get in got healed. So here at that pool, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind and the lame and the paralyzed. One of them who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And so when Jesus saw him lying there, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And while that question feels like it's aggressive because the answer seems so obvious, notice that the guy does not say yes. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred." And if you hear that right there, notice that that is not an answer. That is an explanation. And I get it, because I'm great at giving excuses. I get it. But after 38 years, he didn't just have a condition. He had a system. Right, he had his spot and he had his story and he had his reason for the routine. Basically, he had his mat, right? That's what that was. That was everything to him. But sometimes we get so used to our mat, we can forget why we even want to move. Amen? I'm glad you agree. Because we're going to practice what I preach. So, If you are physically comfortable, if not, if it's too much for you, that's okay. But otherwise, I want everybody to stand up right now. And I want everybody to move to a seat that you've never sat in your entire life. And I mean a new seat. I mean not three. Yeah, that's right. Your booze feed me. No, this is good. This is good. I know. I'm going to restart. You guys find your new neighbor. Should I just restart? Best way.
Joe's progress, take a side quest to the pool of Bethesda to see if the very first... Hey, we fixed it.
Oh, look what's happened in the meantime. Hooray. I don't even care. Good. I like that this happened. That's fine. That's good. It doesn't throw me off at all. This is normal to me. I hope you're all aware that I'm a very, you know, vociferous person, and I have a tendency to drool and there's cement. It's all right. I prefer. I like it. I love you. Everybody leaves me in the end. That is great. So, how do you guys like your new spot? Say hi to your new neighbor on one side. What do you think? You guys like your new spot? Some of you. If you're cheering and the person next to you is not cheering, you got to wonder what that really means about you. They're like,
I not so much. Anyway, it's also, this is great for me because it actually, it changes everything for me too, because now some of you are mad at me and some of you are pretending to like it and some of you are thinking, I don't like the lights or the sound or the smell over here. Why did we come on a Noah week? I hate this. Which really means that is kind of things the same for me. That's usually how it is. But I want you to just, like, really drink it in here, okay? Just think about how strange everything is just because you are sitting somewhere new. It's just a small change. But that is the point. New feels weird before it feels better, right? We don't know if this is going to be your best spot, but it's going to feel weird no matter what because everything better begins as something new. So the bottom line is, if you do want something better, if you want better, you gotta leave your mat for something new, even if you've been sitting in that chair for 38 years. I know some of you have. Oh, it is so tough. It is so tough. I know some of you. I warned a few. Also, some people told me, they were like, I heard first service, we're gonna move. So I think that you, I think they sat in a new place and were like, oh, okay, let's go to this chair, which is their old chair. They're very clever. I don't trust them. That's our congregation. That's about right. Oh, but we do this because you do. You need to try something new. You don't discover your favorite food until you try it for the very first time, right? I hated sushi as a kid. I can't believe how much it's my favorite thing in the world, right? You don't discover, you don't know that you're good at basketball until you join your first team. That's how I realize I'm incredible. I'm an all-star. Like, you have to go try it out. And you don't find your best friend or your spouse or your calling or your church or your Savior until you start a new conversation and a new relationship. So if we know all that, all your favorite things come from doing something new, why do we wait? You know, why did it take me to like really make you mad to change your seat and try something new? And the answer is this. We are loyal to the familiar even when the familiar is failing us. And we know this for a fact because psychologists have been asking this question for years and we have a whole bunch of names for it. We call it the status quo bias. We call it loss aversion, sunk cost, and I like this one, learned helplessness. I know, yeah, it's rampant. I think it's contagious. But the very simple street-level version of all this is we prefer the pain that we know to the possibility that we don't. And it's because our brain measures change by what we lose more than it measures it by what we gain. We're just thinking about the things that are going away, not what we're getting. And because of that, we cling to the things that can cost us. You know, this was not good for me, but we still hold on to it because we're like, I can't give up on it now. And even after enough disappointment, we can stop trying to escape altogether, even when freedom itself is standing right in front of us asking, do you want to get well? Because our foolish flesh fears all change. It just does not want to change, no matter what. And healing isn't just relief from pain. It is choosing a change for the better. So that's what we are working on, because everything better begins when we start to pursue something new. But because we need help to overpower that fear of our flesh and leaving that familiar, well, Jesus himself said to the guy in the pool, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. And I mean, that is crazy. It was a stern 3-part pep talk is all that it took. Get up, pick up, and walk. Right? It worked just now for you guys. Get up and stop letting stuck be your identity. Right? Pick up your mat, then pick up that mat and carry away the thing that used to carry you and walk into that new life that you said you always wanted. Because better does not start when things are easy and on your mat. It just does not start there. Better starts when Jesus tells you to take a step and you do. You respond. But that first step is the toughest step of all because nobody likes being a noob. Oh, it is so true. Just ask gamers. They're the ones who coined the term. You guys all know what noobs are? Like, oh, we got a noob. Yeah, you do. Yeah, noob. For the diehard gamers, I know that N-O-O-B is a different noob than N-E-W-B. It's in the theology. Don't worry. I took care of it. So we're talking about N-E-W-B, noobs. But nobody likes to be a noob, right? Because the gamers coined the term for the inexperienced and awkward and the clearly inferior players. So, of course, none of us want to be that person. We want to be seen as competent and comfortable and good at games, knowing where to sit, what to say, how to look, and how to avoid embarrassment. And yet, every single expert that you admire, every single celebrity who's really great at something, no matter what it is, every single person who's awesome at anything had to choose to live as a noob. They had to just, let's do it, right? Every single musician that you love hit wrong notes a lot in the beginning. Every athlete who's just like your hero and is amazing has dropped the ball a ton. And every chef has burned their biscuits. It has happened, like every single person. And all the people in your life who you admire, every married couple, take me and Raina, right? The perfect couple. They're so beautiful. They're so great. Even them, they had their first fight. It was our last fight too, because we're so great, but... Groan, I know, shenanigans. You're like, I just watched you guys have a fight in the parking lot. Like, we're human.
It's just one fight that never stops.
That's just right. We haven't finished the fight yet. It's called marriage. That's what we do. But that's it. But you go through those things, right? If you want to have a great marriage, you got to have your first fight. And every single mature Christian stumbled through their first prayer, right? Their first offering, the first Bible study that you went to, your first volunteer role that you took. I got to tell you, the very first time that I volunteered at the church, I was so nervous about it, and I was driving down, and I was like, there's the church, and I just kept going. I just kept on going, and then I said, okay, I got to come back. Char was waiting for me in the youth. I was going to help with youth, and I saw it again, and I went, one more time, and I just kept going, and I eventually circled in, and here we are. But it's hard. That first step is so hard. And every mature Christian also has to take their first public step of faith. It is so hard because every single journey has a starting line. But you can't benefit from something that you won't begin. Right? You have to get it going. And this is especially hard for the people who have gotten good at being the old us. Because some of you aren't failing at the old earthly life. Those of us who we're not doing good, we're happy to leave it behind. We're like, ooh, goodbye to that guy. Some of you guys are good at this, right? You're actually crushing life. You learned how to be competent and respected and funny and useful and successful and independent. And you should be given the sermon. I don't know what I'm doing here. And you're in control. So many of you have learned how to do that because you've worked hard to become mature members of society. I want to know what that's like. That sounds great. And you know how to get things done. You've grown up in the world, right? You know how to lead a meeting and how to solve a problem and raise a family and run a business and pay the bills. But that all makes it really hard to hear Jesus when he shows up and he says, you did all that? That's incredible. That's awesome. But get up, pick up, and walk away from all of it because we're starting over. Yeah, that's tricky, right? It was easy for me. I said, that, you can have it. I don't want it. This is why it's hard for a rich man to enter heaven. It's, you're like, I got this stuff I don't want to leave. But that is the message when he's given. That's the message he's saying when he says, we all got to be born again. Born again. You got to start over. And nobody who put in the work to become a success ever wants to hear that they have to reset their social standing back to baby status, right? They're like, I put in all this work. And that, as a matter of fact, that was the main Corinthian church's problem, which is Paul's writing to him and he's talking about this, saying, you guys got to change because Corinth, they were talented, right? They were gifted. They were smart. They were successful. They were a hub of commerce. They had a lot going on. They were doing a really good job. But because they wouldn't fully leave their old life, they struggled to start the new life. And so that's why Paul, when he writes to them, says, brothers and sisters, guys, I could not address you as people who live the new life by the Spirit. but as people who are still worldly, aka mere infants in Christ. You know, you guys are not growing. You guys barely are just, you're newborns. And that's because the problem wasn't that their new faith made them noobs at life. That was not what was happening. The problem was they wouldn't pick up and walk away from the old life that they had built. There was too much stuff. Because old habits die hard, even if they're old habits that live on a mat. But new habits start hard until the old lose their hold. We just don't want to let go. And so, like the Corinthians, some of us are too attached to the success of our old life identity to embrace that new life immaturity, that we just have to start over. And that means that some of us need to admit something that is very uncomfortable. And I mean, this is just true. You get to, again, look at your neighbor and be like, this might be you. This is a hard thing. But we can be an old life all-star, but we still got to start as a new life noob. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're a CEO or an MVP or you got your PhD. Nobody skips spiritual kindergarten. It is great news, too. It's awesome. It doesn't matter if you're the fancy-pantsiest and billionaire and everything. It's like, well, you know, you're at zero just like everybody else. None of your old credits transfer to your new life, which means we all have to accept that a 12-year-old in Sunday school might be far more spiritually mature than their 50-year-old coach who's a legend in the game, but they're just a brand-new believer in Jesus. You know, that's just how it actually goes. Because as Christians, you were taught to put off the old self, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God. And it is not that, it's not that like everything that you did was all wrong, right? It's just that that old you mentality obstructs that new you spirituality, right? You got to dump one out before you can fill it with the other. The old you may know how to win arguments, and you're really good at it. But the new you has to learn how to love enemies. Oh, and you got to start from maybe even negative. You know, like that's tough. The old you may know how to build an image, you know, something that you've really done in the community well. But the new you has to learn how to be embarrassed. The old you may know how to be in charge, running a big company, doing something great. But the new you has to learn how to be obedient. And surrender and humility and submission are super hard lessons to learn because they make everybody feel inexperienced again. No matter who you are, no matter what you got to just be completely humbled. And then you just feel like you're out of your element. It's so tough, regardless of what we've accomplished. And the good news is this, though, that's not failure. It can feel like it, like I'm just letting go of all this stuff. Why? No. That's great news. That's birth. That's why we're saying it. That's birth. And that's why getting better in your new life doesn't grow from what you already know. Your new life grows by being a noob who is ready to improve. Start playing the game. And that's what Jesus was asking the man by the pool when he said, are you ready and willing to be a noob and improve? We're gonna get your legs going here. We're gonna do this. You know, are you ready to? It's gonna be awkward and everything, right? Because once Jesus knows that, then he knows that you trust his love enough to start from scratch and follow his lead, even through the new path, if it's foreign and frightening. It doesn't matter. He knows that you'll just follow him because Jesus is not just saying, get up, pick up, and walk away. Good luck. You know, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, love me. Trust me and come to me. That's where you're walking because Jesus wants to show us a preview of what we gain when we choose the new to help us make the change and leave that old life that we have to lose. He's saying, I know how your brain handles this, but let me show you everything you get. It's going to make it easier. And this is exactly how he handled it with Peter when he needed Peter to take that scary step. We all know that story where he comes walking to him on the water, right? Because he walked out on the waves of a storm where they're all freaking out. We're all going to die. Oh, my goodness, it's going to happen. And Jesus shows up and he goes, hey, guys, it is I. Don't be afraid. And, you know, here's Peter. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come on, you know. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Attaboy, Pete, right? Like, that's incredible. The guy at the pool may have left the familiarity of his miserable mat when Jesus called him into something new, but Peter left the safety of his beloved boat when Jesus called him to walk away from the whole world that he thought he knew, saying, step on water. And he's like, that doesn't work. He was like, okay, if you say so, right? And that's because faith does not make us better by keeping us where it's already, where we already feel safe. Faith makes us better when we go wherever Jesus calls us to come. Amen?
Good.
Wherever it is. Wherever it is, we just say, okay, Lord, this is gonna be hilarious when I, you know, go under, and we don't. Peter didn't walk on the water because he trusted the water. That's stupid. Unless you're ice skating. That's the closest you get to, like, that's a different story. But you just, you know, that's not how it worked. Peter walked on water because he trusted the voice that called him out. But Peter is like the poster boy for noobs everywhere, right? Because he's always embarrassing himself, but he's going for it. And as a total noob, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me, you know? Help me, I'm stuck. Come get me, Call of Duty, whatever, you know, in games. Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, right? Does that sound familiar? Does that whole, like, routine sound familiar? Peter was fine. Well, Jesus had his attention. Everything was just cool. You could walk on, you could do anything. It felt great. But he sank the second that the wind stole his attention away. That right there, that we all know that because that is classic noob faith. It's just, we just can't help it. We're just not there yet. It's when we let old fear and doubt and discomfort from the old us, when we let that make us stutter and stumble and sink. And it's because relearning to walk is hard, and it makes nervous noobs easily distracted. We just, you know, it's just incredibly hard to do it the right way. But I want you to make sure that you hear this. Don't miss the good news in that story. Jesus did not say, nice one, noob, ha ha, you know, sucks to be you. That's not Jesus. Jesus reached out and caught him. Because Jesus does not call beginners into the new life to mock their failures. He calls us to be closer so his love can keep us safe while we're making mistakes. Because we know we're going to do it, right? Every one of us, the first steps that we take in everything, we're going to be so full of mistakes, it's going to happen. So he just says, I want to be a part of it. I want to keep you close. It's like dad teaching you how to ride a bike. You know, you got to hold on, hold on, hold on. I know. See, I feel the same way. That's exactly it. And it's because of this. It's because there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. And we love because he first loved us. And that's why we are so stinking excited for baptism today. We all get to witness how God's love actually empowers ordinary old people to take huge, scary steps into their new life. We get to watch live, all of us together, as people answer the call of a God who is asking them to publicly leave their mat, step out of the boat, and walk themselves into the only pool that leads to new life that never ends. It's a miracle. It's amazing. You guys are awesome. Because God himself is the one who says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. I'm going to do all that. You get it? I mean, like, that is such a cool thing. That's what we're going to get to go see. God's not just adding upgrades. Our new walk, when we take that first big step and we say, all right, Lord, I'm coming off the mat. I'm getting out of the boat. Our new walk means that we get a whole new life because we got a new heart that can actually finally follow a new master. And where you're going and what you're doing is completely different. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come already. The old is gone. The new is here. And you can tell when it happens, right? We know noobs when we see them because they have a weird walk. You know, it's like watching a newborn deer trying to figure it out or a teenager do anything. They're just all weird. You know, you're like, yep, they're trying, you know, as best they can. But the way you can extra tell is because they keep getting better. They just keep getting better. That's what this whole place is about. We just keep walking weird, but we get a little bit better. And that is why your new seat is so good for you. That is so good, because now you've been in here for a little while, sitting in your new seat. How's it feel? Pretty good. We're down here. That's right. And it was good for you not because it was comfortable, but because it wasn't. Right? It's not comfortable. But you know what? That made it harder for autopilot to kick in so you could check out. I see way more awake people than I've ever seen up here before. You had to, just because of that, just because you're in a new spot and you're like, it's all weird. The angles are strange. I don't know what to do. This guy next to me keeps roughing against my arm. You know, Nathan, go away. I could see it in your neighbor's eyes. I'm helping you out. No, but you had to get comfortable with discomfort. This whole time, that's what you're doing. You had to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that right there, that is the key to the Christian life. We gotta get comfortable leaving our old seats, leaving our old excuses, leaving our old fears, leaving our old mats, leaving our old boats, everything that we know and trust. You gotta get comfortable leaving it behind so we can live a better life in a better place, with a better attitude and a better master. The bottom line is we got to get good at change if we want to get better at life. Day in and day out. Well, that should be one of our hallmarks. We're just good at change. We do something new every single day. So even if you end up in your old seat next week, I'm not going to hold it against you. If you're like, this is cute and all, Noah, but I'm back row 3, seat 5. That's where I live. I understand, okay? Unless the guy who's there now is like, this is a good seat. This is my seat now. Then you'll have to fight each other, but we'll make it a pay-per-view. It'll be great. We'll do a message about that. Earn your seat. Nope, not a good idea. They're not all winners. So if you find yourself back in your old seat next week, regardless, that's okay. That's okay. But what I do want you to do is spend this whole week really looking at your life and really thinking about what mat in your life is God calling you to walk away from. Okay? There's something in your life that you've just let become a routine. It's just become, it is what it is, and it doesn't need to be. You can walk away from it. Because when you know His heart and you hear His voice, you can trust His plan. And you can trust His plan will put you on the path to everything that your heart desires, even if it starts with the vulnerability that your heart despises. And if you don't believe that, if you don't think it's worth it, I want you to just ask anyone that we're about to baptize. Okay? Anyone that we're about to baptize, because they can tell you right now, it sure ain't comfortable doing something new. But it sure is exciting starting something better. It's worth it. Even if it's something that you don't want to do, you just got to do it. And it's exciting, you know. That's why nerves feel like that. So don't forget, Jesus came to change your life, not your mat. Right? He wants you to do something new. But that can only ever happen when you choose to get up and pick up and walk while it is still weird. Because you gotta be a noob before you get improved. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray about it, guys. Father God, we love You and we thank You for calling us out of that old comfort that has been holding us back and calling us into that new life that just never ends. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that You give us the courage to get up and leave who we were and pick up and change how we live and walk wherever it is that You call us to come. And Lord Jesus, we praise You for paying the price to prove that Your love can catch every single nervous noob before they sink. And Your love can lead us into that better life that we have always wanted. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.